This episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast is brought to you by the Find Food Freedom membership. If you are ready to walk away from diet culture, find food freedom, and enjoy your life again, you can learn more and sign up at findfoodfreedommembership.com. Don't forget to use code IWANTFOODFREEDOM for 3 months completely free. Welcome to the Find Food Freedom podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Find Food Freedom. Find Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Find Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast. Your girl, Sammy, here. And we're going to talk all about travel today. Now, before we get into traveling as an intuitive eater, I have been playing around on Instagram. I've been playing with some of the question boxes, and we've had so many amazing people respond to some of the questions that I've been saying. And I never shared why I asked these questions, but I asked two very different questions and got hundreds of responses to both of them. So now I need to figure out which one of these I want to make the opener of the podcast. And you may be saying, what the hell are you talking about? Well, let's get into it. So over the weekend, I put a question box up asking people, like, what is the craziest shit you've ever done related to diet culture, dieting, that at the time you were like, I'm so fucking healthy. But now you look back and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? Right. And this is not to instill guilt or shame. This is not to give motivation of harmful behaviors. This is more so to recognize when you're sharing this, like, you're not alone. And most people that are in diet culture do not realize how you can't see what's up, down, left, right. Like, you can't see straight. So you now get removed from diet culture. You're able to like pull back and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? So that's one that people wrote so many responses to. And I felt like this is a way like that we could, again, collectively have to put a huge trigger warning that like this is not promoting harmful behaviors of any kind, but to recognize you're not alone. If you have a dieting history, you're not alone. If you have a dieting past, you're not alone. If you do restrictive things, but here we can come together, hopefully bring a little humor and lightness to a dark season, and like really together claim like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. So this is more so to share it, to be like, oh my gosh, can you believe that I did that? Isn't it great that I'm never going to do that again, or that I don't want to be doing that? And I'm surrounded by a community that feels the same way. So that was one of the questions I asked. Now, the other question I asked, I shared a photo of my daughter and I. It was her first time. She's 10 months old, like playing in the sand. And I was talking about what food freedom meant to me and her in that moment. And I'm going to share it here with you. So let me pull it up. So here I wrote, how would you define food freedom? Today, food freedom was taking the baby to the beach for an impromptu sunset beach picnic. Today, food freedom was chowing down on a sub while the baby dug her toes into the cool sand for the first time. Today, food freedom was a moment of gratitude for what life looked like in this precious snapshot. Today, food freedom was crunchy salt and vinegar chips with a refreshing fountain Dr. Pepper with sand stuck to the bottom of the cup. Today, food freedom was slobbery open mouth kisses and the sounds of waves crashing mixed with baby giggles and claps. Today, food freedom was a memory that I will never forget. And the reason I shared this is because I thought about a time in my life where maybe I would have been at the beach, like physically with my husband and the baby, but I wouldn't have been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't have been there mentally and emotionally. I wouldn't have been able to be present and actually enjoy that moment. And so what started as something that originally, the first question, I thought, that's going to be the opener, right? We're going to share the crazy shit we did in diet culture. We're going to laugh about it. We're going to cry about it. We're going to come together and we're going to say we're not doing that anymore. But then when I shared the photo of my daughter and I, and kind of what food freedom meant to me in that moment, not only did I get hundreds of responses of people in the actual question box, but just even people DMing me, sharing, like, you know, one example is a follower said they lost their uncle who had Down syndrome last week, and he absolutely loved Twinkies. And so for the past week, they've been cheersing Twinkies in honor of him, and they're laughing and they're crying and they're sharing memories. And how beautiful that they can all sit there and enjoy one of his favorite snacks in remembrance of him. And I mean, how beautiful is that, that somebody even took the time to write that and share that with me. And so, and now I can come on here on this platform and share it with you. And so originally I was thinking that the opener to the podcast, something that you can come, you know, every week and expect to hear, was going to be sharing the crazy shit. But now I'm stumped. I'm like, well, now I kind of want it to be share a moment of food freedom for you this week and what food freedom means to you. And that's going to change every single week, every single day, every single hour. And what a cool way that we could all celebrate together what food freedom is looking like in our lives and how different it's going to be. So I guess where I come full circle with this is, do you want both of these to be an opening question answer where we kind of, and again, I would put these question boxes on Instagram. So we're getting, I already have hundreds and hundreds of screenshots of them, like content truly for the rest of this year, but continuing to put those question boxes up, ask those questions, get new answers from you and in our community and share those. Because then I started getting DMs from people saying, can you share? Because I started sharing some of these. Like, can you start sharing these? Like, this was so helpful to see what these moments of food freedom looked like for people. And that's what this is all about. So if that's going to be helpful, then I want to do it. So I wanted to open today's podcast episode and kind of break some of that down and just let you know where my mind was going and what you can expect, because I want you to come not only to these episodes expecting to learn something and create curiosity with your relationship with food and body, but also have like that question, right? That thing that you're coming to this episode wanting to hear. And hopefully, if I have permission from people, like if you want me to give you a shout out, if you're like, hey, my name is Kelly and I'm from Denver and I want you to share my answer. And I want you to say, hey, like, I would love to share and say hello to all of you individually throughout the episodes. So just something to think about. Send us a DM if you're listening to this and let us know like what your thoughts are, which question you like better, if you want to hear both, kind of where you're thinking or where you stand on that. So while we kind of use this as our jumping off point, we're going to jump into travel now. And what a better time, no better time to talk about travel than when you're about to hop on a plane. So what is it? 5 a.m. tomorrow, I will be leaving for the airport. I have a very, very quick trip to New York City for some really exciting press opportunities. We have another trip to New Jersey for a family wedding paired with another press opportunity in New York. Then we have LA at the beginning of May. I will be traveling for more press. Then we have an upcoming summer trip to Austin that I still need to book for another press opportunity. And, but most, there's two very other exciting trips that I have planned. I have a girls' weekend in May with some of my girlfriends from Penn State. We like to go back to Penn State, frolic around campus, just live in a state of nostalgia. And this weekend, I'm just loading on the travel. One of my girlfriends and I met for a beach walk and coffee. And I was like, wait, you're a Swiftie, right? And she's a Swiftie. And we're like, you know what? I think we need to make the Eras tour happen. So we're going to figure out where and when we can see Taylor Swift live in action. And why I'm sharing this very exciting travel and itinerary with you is because I remember a version of myself who wanted to be excited for the travel, right? Who wanted and was excited for the travel, but wouldn't allow myself to be fully excited because there was an anxiety that took over knowing, oh, you're traveling? Well, you're going to be off your routine, right? You're not going to have control over the foods you're eating. You're going to have to try to, air quotes, be good while you're gone. You're going to go off the diet. You're not going to count the calories. You're not going to get your workouts in. You're like, all of these diet culture thoughts would come flooding to me. So I couldn't be present and enjoy life or, of course, the travel. And I mean, this is what intuitive eating is all about. I had a client once say to me, intuitive eating isn't about eating. It's so much more than that. It's intuitive living. And once you find that freedom with food, you're able to enjoy life's precious moments. And this kind of also reminds me of, you know, traditional diet culture. When I was working as a diet culture dietitian, and if you're like, Sammy, what the hell do you mean? You can go back and listen. We have a whole episode on diet culture dietitian versus intuitive eating dietitian. And I explain my transition from being a classically trained dietitian to what I am today. Now, this kind of thought process kind of reminds me of diet culture, that version of whether it was clients or I even said this myself, where I'm like, well, it's not a good time to start a diet because I have this vacation, right? I have this holiday, I have this trip or whatever it is. And I'd be like, I'll start it after that. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's always going to be the trip, the vacation, the holiday, the weekend, the concert, the party. Like, there is never a good time. Well, first of all, there's never a good time to start a diet because dieting sucks. But I want to use that same thought process for intuitive eating because often I'll have conversations with people in our community that are maybe newer to intuitive eating. And they're like, you know what? I follow you. I like what you're saying, but I don't want to get started with this until after my vacation. And I'm here to tell you, one, intuitive eating is not a diet, so that's great. But two, you don't have to wait to get started. There's nothing, it's not a pass fail, it's not a black or white. And there's no like perfect trail of intuitive eating. There's no perfect journey of intuitive eating. So travel acts as this really amazing catalyst to challenge yourself to get present, to enjoy the moment, to enjoy the food, to enjoy the people around you, to enjoy the experience. And so many of my clients, depending on where they're at in their intuitive eating journey, right? They might be newer, they might be more intermediate, or they may be advanced. It's so interesting to get them, to be with them, to walk alongside them, to support them on different travel trips throughout their intuitive eating journey. and how travel creates just this amazing experience of getting really present and kind of like jump-starting you into intuitive eating. So I want to talk about my three big, they're like the pillars of travel and intuitive eating. Now, this is fully opinion, and this is really, I'm thinking about myself here. I just told you I have, oh gosh, over 6 or 7 trips lined up in the next few months. And so when I think of myself, right, I'm 10 months postpartum. Mama hasn't traveled in a while. And so I think about, okay, what do I need to focus on? If people ask me, well, how do you travel as an intuitive eater? What does that look like? Here's my answer. Okay. 3 words I want you to think about. And you're going to be like, Sammy, you're a broken record. I've heard these words before. Sure have. And that tells you something we're going to get to. So my 3 words: intention, comfort, and nourishment. And so intention is like my word of 2023. I want you to think about when you are traveling, I don't care if it's a work trip, a vacation, whatever it is, what do you want to feel and experience on this trip? I'm going to say that again. What do you want to feel and experience on this trip? And that right there, I want you to use one word. Don't overthink it. The first thing that comes up for you, maybe it's fun, maybe it's playfulness, maybe it's love, romance, being present, gratitude, whatever it is, connection. I want you to take that word and I want you to center that word. That is your intention of your trip. Okay. For example, I'm going to use mine. This week, my word that I'm choosing is connection. I'm about to build some in-person connections with people that I have known virtually for like 3+ years now. But because of the nature of my job, I haven't got to meet them in person. So I'm excited to build connection with these amazing human beings. So that's my word of the trip. And why I bring up that intention is number one, it's the most important thing, is because you're going to go through your travel, right? And things are going to come up. Things are going to get stressful. I want you to come back to this intention. Like, I will actually whisper that word to myself. You know, connection. When things get crazy, because life gets crazy always, and things maybe don't go as planned or something gets shifted in my schedule, I come back to connection. I'm not going to let anything bring me down on this trip. Now that's like, let's not get like toxic positivity. Of course, things are going to, you know, happen and whatever, but I'm going to go with the flow and I'm going to center intention. And it's so important to pick an intention for your travel so you can really be present in the moment. And after that trip, say, did I center that intention? Did I feel and experience what I wanted? Because if we don't get really intentional about our intention, we can end up a week later coming back from our trip and being like, I was so obsessed with food and body thoughts. I didn't at all experience what I wanted to feel or experience. And life is too short to do that. So give yourself grace. It takes a lot of practice, takes a lot of time to, you know, throughout practice to be able to do this. But the more you do it, the more trips you go on, the more you center an intention, the better you'll get at it. And you can do this without traveling. Like, wake up tomorrow, pick one word. What do you want your intention to be for that day? And that's a really great way to practice that intention setting. Secondly, the next word I want you to think about is comfort. So we started with intention. Now comfort. And what I mean by comfort is that preparation for your travel, right? How do you prepare for your travel to ensure that you're going to feel comfortable? And I have one client that I've worked with for many years now. And I think back to our first time together prepping for travel, because he travels a lot for work. He travels a lot for pleasure and vacations. And that first time we talked through travel, there was so much anxiety around packing and what am I going to wear and what am I going to bring? And he shared with me that so many times for travel in the past, he would actually pack clothes that he knew intentionally did not fit his body, were too small for his body, but he would do it as a way of, well, maybe I'll fit into it, or almost like an act of motivation to restrict, because it's like, oh, well, I can't eat too much because this is already tight. And, you know, if I bring this, then I'll, air quotes, be good. Right. And so it's 2023. We aren't doing that anymore. We are packing for comfort, comfort and style, right? But comfort first. If something is not comfortable, you will not want to wear it. And so I'd like to use this example of shoes, right? So when we think about shoes, you would never pack shoes in your suitcase that were two sizes too small, right? Because what would happen? You would put them on and you would be in a lot of pain. And you wouldn't be able to think about anything else if you were wearing these shoes on your trip, because you would be in so much physical pain. And a lot of times I find this is what happens with clothing. We pack certain items of clothing because we think, I, air quotes, I should fit into that. You know what? I'm going to wear that because it's a little tight and it's going to motivate me to not eat as much. But what happens? We put on that that article of clothing, whatever it is, and it's uncomfortable, right? Maybe it digs into our stomach. It cuts off our arm circulation. We can't raise our arms a certain way. We can't sit because then we can't breathe. Whatever it is, we have these articles of clothing that we put on our body that do not fit our body. And then what happens? We can't stop thinking about it. We go out to dinner. We're trying to have this nice dinner, right? We're going to try to experience this new town or this new city or connect with people, right? We're trying to center our intention, right? Let's use me as an example. I'm going to center connection. How the hell am I supposed to connect with other people if I have clothes on my body that are digging in, restricting, uncomfortable, right? And so I want to acknowledge my privilege, my thin privilege. I reside in a straight size body. It's a hell of a lot easier for me to find clothes that fit my body. But I also want to say that I have supported clients in all size bodies, and it is possible to find clothes that fit your body comfortably, and you're allowed to go up a size. If you're like, but Sammy, I can't see that number. I'm here to tell you, clothing sizes in the US are fucked. I went to Nordstrom Rack the other day. I got 6 pieces of clothing. 3 of them were different sizes, as in, if you know, we have like small, medium, large, extra large, up to 4XL, whatever it is. 3 of them were different sizes, like small, medium, large, all different sizes. Okay, how is that possible? My body didn't change sizes. Then I got 3 different dresses. So if we look at clothing sizes from like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever, I had 3 different dress sizes in my bag. So now I had 3 different sizes between small, medium, large, 3 different sizes between dress sizes. My body didn't change, right? Our bodies are not the problem. It is so important that you dress your body in a way that has clothes on it that feel comfortable. If you do not, this will trigger the negative body image thoughts. This will trigger the thoughts of, I need to change my body. My body is bad. It is possible to dress for comfort, and it is possible to dress for comfort and style. So you've probably heard me say this on many different platforms, but I'll say it again. Turn your back to the mirror when you're trying on clothes that you want to pack. Do not look in a mirror. Try it on. Is it comfortable? Can you breathe? Can you dance? Can you wiggle? Can you do a squat? If so, then and only then do you turn around, do you look in the mirror and say, okay, does this pass my style test? Something might fit comfortably that you're like, I would never wear this, and you don't have to wear it, right? So if you don't wear bedazzled jeans, like, you know, we did back in the 90s, the low rise, like, ooh, what was it? True Religion? I don't remember. But if you still got those in your closet and you're like, oh, I would never wear this. Get rid of them. And third and final word I want you to center in your traveling toolbox, right? I want you to pull out of your travel toolbox when you're traveling is nourishment. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if you're on vacation. I don't care if you're on a work trip. I don't care where the hell you are. Your body needs consistent fuel and nourishment and hydration 365 days out of a year. I don't care what that food is, but you need to consume food frequently. Your body loves to have energy. We get energy through food. Our body loves water. Every single cell in our body uses water to function and thrive properly. So this is where I think diet culture can really creep in with this message, though, is I'll see people, you know, put these messages out on social media. And I genuinely think they're well-intended and they're trying to help. When you go on vacation, when you go on a trip, you don't need to be like so prioritized with your nutrient density and all of these things. Just fuel frequently. Get hydration in frequently if possible. And you can do little things to set yourself up to do this. I'm going to use myself as an example. Here's my handy dandy water bottle. Those of you who are listening and not watching, it's a 32 ouncer. It's nice and like tall and slender water bottle where it fits in a lot of the cup holders. Also has a straw. I drink so much more water when I have access to a straw. This comes with me on every trip. Right when I go through that security gate, boom, water fountain, fill it up. Mama ain't spending $9.99 or whatever the fuck they charge for a water bottle at the airport, okay? No one has money for that. No one has time for that. So this water bottle comes through the security with me. I fill it up. Now, this doesn't mean you have to be perfect. This doesn't mean you have to be, you know, obsessing and hypervigilant about your hydration or your food. What else do? I bring snacks. I bring non-perishable snack items, dried fruit, bars, nuts, seeds, nut butters, jerky. I don't care what it is, chips. Bring it in your bag because we've all had those flights where they're like, we'll be taking off here in 5 minutes. Then you push back and you get stuck on the tarmac for like 3 hours before takeoff and you don't have food and you don't have water and you're freaking out because you're dehydrated and you're starving. Well, guess what? Nothing's wrong with you if that happened. That means your body's working properly. So the more you can set yourself up for success, the better. Also, when we travel, I feel like our plans are so fluid, right? Maybe we're trying to meet up with friends. Maybe we're trying to sightsee. Maybe you have work meetings. You don't know what your day is going to look like. Shit's always hitting the fan. So if you have some of these non-perishable snack items in your bag, in your purse, in your backpack, in your fanny pack, then you can just roll with the punches. Like you can grab a snack whenever you need it. If you're not going to get your next meal for a little bit, but you're really hungry, you can still have these snacks on hand and use them as a tool. So intention, comfort, nourishment, these are the words that I want you to put in your travel toolbox and use if they feel right for you. If you're like, Sammy, ain't no way I'm thinking about that. Take what serves you and leave the rest behind. Okay. That's what this podcast is all about. It's here to plant seeds. It's here to create curiosity. It's here to take such a simple message that you've probably heard 5,000 times, but deliver it in a way that doesn't instill guilt and shame into your life. So I would love to hear from you. You know, rate, review the podcast, leave a comment about this episode of what nugget of information was the most helpful, what you want to see more of. We are so grateful for each and every single one of you that show up and listen to this podcast. And we want to create content that is actually helpful to you. So for your next travel that you have upcoming, whether it's pleasure, whether it's work, whatever it is, intention, comfort, nourishment, center these things. Give yourself grace. Know that your body needs fuel and nourishment 365 days out of the year. Your body always wants clothes that are on it that fit comfortably. And every single day you wake up, whether you're traveling or not, you can center an intention and say, what do I want to feel and experience today? So whether you're traveling or not, this episode can be very relevant. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true because then we get to help people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to our social channels and follow us at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. I also want to give you a free gift simply just for showing up today. So if you head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com, you are going to get a free gift, again, just for being here. It's a training entitled, What the Hell is Intuitive Eating and How Do I Get Started? This training breaks down what intuitive eating actually is and isn't, along with breaking down the three biggest myths with intuitive eating, and will give you some practical steps to get started on your food freedom journey. So if you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody who you think needs to hear it. And when you rate and review, leave us some feedback, what you want to hear more of, what questions you have. The more that you share this podcast, the more this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. So thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Bye.